Cale Clark here. Thanks for listening to my podcast. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Relevant Radio and get a free phone. Don't delay. CharityMobile.com. That's CharityMobile.com.
Fascinating facts, candid conversations, and some levity to lighten your day. This is the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, hello, hello, and welcome to the Cale Clark Show. My name is Brooke Taylor, in for Cale today. I'll be back with you on Friday as well. But just out of the box, two quick ways to be a part of the program that I want to mention before we jump into today's topic. So the number is 1-888-914-9149. Email works to cale@relevantradio.com. Producer Jim is at the ready doing fascinating and important work. So thank you, Jim. And it is an honor to be with you today. Also tying it a little bit to Friday, I'll be back with you and we'll be co-hosting the solemnity of the Sacred Heart. We've been preparing for this, readying our spirit for this. And my friend, brother, John Michael Paul will actually be joining us from France. He's the pro-provincial of the Americas for the community of St. John. So even though it's going to be very late, or I guess very early there in Paris, he said he would stay up to join us. But in a mystical way, today we are also going to travel to France, touching on the lives and the stories of St. Thérèse of Lisieux, St. Martin of Tours, Venerable Léon de Pont, and Sister Mary of St. Peter. Maybe they are already very familiar friends to you, but it's possible you could be hearing some incredible insights you've never heard before. And that's what I'm so excited about with today's show. We are going to explore the powerful devotion of the Holy Face, one of the most potent devotions that we have in the church. And when we hear the name of the little flower, we know that it tells a story. Her full religious name, Saint Thérèse of the Child of Jesus and the Holy Face. Profound significance to that name that she chose. And if you read The Story of a Soul, you know very well her devotion to the Child of Jesus, that she referred to herself as that she was kind of like a little ball of Jesus and he could leave her in the corner and it would be okay and play with her when he desired, but also the devotion she had to the Holy Face. And did you know, on April 25th, 1885, Thérèse, along with her father, her three sisters, was one of the pioneers to enroll in the Archconfraternity of the Holy Face. And according to her sister, her biological sister, Mother Agnes, who also testified during the process of her canonization, so this is under oath, she said this. She said, however tender was Thérèse's devotion to the Child Jesus, it cannot be compared to the devotion which she had for the Holy Face. So why is this devotion not more widely known and deployed among the faithful? Well, that's the question that we are going to unpack and hopefully change today as we explore a brand new book. It's called The Secret of the Holy Face, The Devotion Destined to Save Society. The author of that book and disciple of the devotion of the Holy Face, Father Lawrence Daniel Carney III, is our guest on today's show. Welcome to the program, Father Carney.
Thank you for having me, Brooke.
Well, I know we have a lot to get to today, and as we entrust the mission of this message on today's show, I wondered if you would join me in an Ave, blessing us as we begin.
Sure. In the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Spiritus Sanctum. Amen.
Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen.
Amen. In nomine Patri, Filio, Spiritus Sancti.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. I have your book here. It's been my steadfast companion for the last 2 weeks, and just so excited to open the pages and really kind of unfold the shroud, so to speak. And I want to begin with the message of this book, and there's so much to it. So I'm grateful that we have an hour, but it's going to be definitely full and packed. You start in the book, you have a quote, and you say, despite Christ himself revealing that reparation to his holy face is the highest devotion. Most devout Catholics today have not heard of it. For decades after its approval for the whole world by Pope Leo the 13th in 1885, the holy face devotion was at the center of some of the greatest miracles working in church history. So, Father, I mean, this was as well known of a devotion as the Sacred Heart when it first emerged and was approved. So I guess let's start there. Why don't we know more about it? What happened?
Well, this devotion is to make reparation for blasphemy and profanation of Sundays. And before I got into this devotion, blasphemy was serious to me, but it wasn't as serious as I see it. Our Lord told Sister Mary St. Peter that by blasphemy, if the inanimate objects would fall and top on people to do that, it would. But God holds up his hand so it doesn't happen. But I was looking today about how special this devotion is. Our Lord told Sister Mary St. Peter, quote, "His holy face, from this standpoint, our Lord declared that the gift of his adorable countenance, which he presented to me on that day, was next to the sacraments, the greatest gift he could bestow on me." So there's a parable in there. And this isn't the only place that our Lord reveals this secret. There's other places too, but the point is, this is one of the greatest things that heaven will ever give to the world, is the devotion to the Holy Face. And it's so unknown because it had to have a very strong foundation, canonical foundation. And that's why when Pope Leo the 13th erected it as an archconfraternity and St. Teresa of Lisieux enrolled in it, that was a big deal. But the enemies of God and the enemies of the church and inside the church, they started to have power and they got rid of this. So it really hasn't been able to see the light of day. And our Lord told Sister Mary St. Peter, don't worry if you don't feel consolations from praying these prayers. That doesn't matter. And I've noticed, Brooke, that so many people that get involved in this, they offer some kind of suffering. God gives them some kind of suffering. And they're willing to do it because God promises so many fruits after this life for those who are dedicated to this devotion and spreading it. He gives 9 promises, but I won't go into those, but I hope that can touch upon the question you just asked.
Well, one example of a willing victim, so to speak, but I know you go into that in the book, that it must be a special grace, is St. Louis Martin. And when you talked about suffering, he enrolled and just the subsequent unfolding of his own life, but how devoted he was to the Holy Face.
Oh, he's an amazing person because God had a very special meeting the first time he saw his future wife. He was on a boat, and she walked on a bridge above, and they both locked faces, and that was it. And she was told by God that's your future spouse. So she ran home because she was a contemplative. And she was not acting normal, and her father pulled it out of her at dinner. What's going on? And she said, I think I found my spouse. And he said, well, who is it? It's Louis. And he said, oh, I know his father. I'm going to go talk to him now. So then they got married. But the thing is, she gave birth to a number of nuns. So he's an amazing person because of the great gifts that he gave to the church via their children. But at the end of his life, he decided to offer himself as a victim soul. And God took that offering, so he became insane for the last 5 years. And he's a saint. So I think that's just, so it's a great stock where St. Teresa of Lisieux came from her parents.
Absolutely. And you think of the devotion they had to the Holy Face and the timing of it with your book and just looking at what's going on in the world. And you talked about blasphemy, the profanation of our Lord, and also the holy day of Sunday. But you also see a notable reflection you have early on as you point out this neo-paganism on the rise in almost every facet of civilization. We know it, we see it, we feel it. The human face made in the image and likeness of God is being attacked like never before by the enemies of God. The image of the human face shrouded under masks for so long with the emergence of COVID and then further distorted now under gender ideology. And, you know, when we think of the words of Pilate, ecce homo, behold the man, in a time where, you know, you think about the very anthropology of gender being questioned, that this providential remedy of the countenance, the face of Christ, and behold the man, that this is such a providential remedy for what ails us today. And that's what you say, that this is the mystical combat of our age. And I know you've got chapters dedicated to this, but how, in just that way alone, maybe, can this devotion help us and help save society? That's part of the title of the book.
Well, one of my favorite statues I ever saw was in Cuernavaca, Mexico, and it's the Ecce Homo, behold the man. And I could see him from a block away down this alley. And these Mexicans were very devoted and had the Spanish statue with real hair, you know, a wig on him. And he was just bloody all over. And people were there praying. It wasn't even an altar. It wasn't an oratory. It was just a chapel, a church, and people praying. And his face just, it caught me. So there's so much that's important to the face. What the devil does is he apes nature. He uses nature and he changes it. He makes it artificial. And when people give up God, they're going to start listening to the demons. And the demons want us to hate ourselves. That's why, unfortunately, poor people, they put tattoos on their bodies because they're learning to hate themselves. That's why he wants us to cover our face, because that's the countenance of God. That's the image of God. And the devil wants to cover up the image of God. And that's why when our Lord was at the mock trial, they had to cover his face, because some fathers say that his face was shining like a bright light in that dark room, and they couldn't stand it anymore. They couldn't stand being in the light and in the truth, so they had to cover it. And then they mocked him by slapping him on the face and said, "Prophesy, who hit you?" So this devotion helps us to say we must love our God and not blaspheme him. We must adore our God and not disregard him and work on Sundays. And so this devotion has helped me so much to see how important the first three commandments are. If we don't get those right, we're not going to be able to get the other seven right. And, you know, the Ten Commandments, there's two tablets, three on one side and seven on the other. The first three is rendering justice to God. The last three, seven, rendering justice to our neighbor. So I think if we start to get into this devotion to reparation, as Pope Blessed Ninth has said, Pius IX said, reparation is destined to save society. And I think if we get into reparation, which is repairing the relationship between our God, the Trinity, and our human family, then I think we're going to start making some headway and adoring God. You see, I celebrate the Latin Mass for some Benedictine nuns out here in Gower, Missouri, and we chant the Mass every day. We're chanting the Gregorian chant and rendering to God the worship that has always been given for the last 1,500 or so years in the Latin Rite. And to give that reverence has changed my priesthood so much. It's given me a spiritual regeneration that I never had before growing up without it. And so reparation and giving reverence will bring reversions to so many fallen away Catholics and so many pagans that are good pagans that haven't been exposed to the Church and her splendor, splendous liturgies and that. And this devotion is just packed with so many possibilities if people are just exposed to it and take it on. Because, Rick, this devotion gives us something to do to fight the world tyranny that could be coming over the next few years, because it helps us to be the best Catholics, the best Christians. And God gives us a blueprint. This is how you're going to get out of it, because I'm the one giving the punishment, if this makes any sense.
Well, I want to get into that because we hear about the devotion to the Holy Face, and then you think, well, what does that entail? And it's a lot. But I love how we are the church militant, and you call us into battle through this book because it's easy to feel overwhelmed during these times. And we know that that our Lord is the victor, and we know that there will be victory. But sometimes it can feel as if our efforts are somehow, you know, mute or meager against the forces of evil that are around us. But you remind us just again through following his commandments that he will deliver the enemy into our hands. You talk about the battalions of reparations, starting with 5 in any town to avert the malice of 100 city leaders. I thought that was so beautiful, and how Pope Leo XIII, he elevated the Holy Face to an archconfraternity, but he warned about communism and revolutionary men and atheism, and how it used to be, of course, the Crusades defended the Holy Land, but this new Crusades, which we are in, defends the honor of God, the name of Christ, and that we take up spiritual weapons. So not necessarily physical arms as they did in the Crusades, but spiritual weapons. And that's what this devotion is about. So can you take us, I know we have to take a break in just a minute or two, but can you give us a starter seed packet of how to begin? What does it look like to have a devotion to the Holy Face?
Well, yeah, the Old Testament was always low odds. So God said, I forget where it was, if there's 5 of you, then you will take down 100 of the enemy, of the evil man. And if there's 100 of you, you will take down 10,000. So there's exponential growth when the good guys start to defend the rights of God. And, you know, it's in the Old Testament, too, where Jehoshaphat was fighting, and he sent the singing men into the vanguard. And the enemy, once they heard this Gregorian chant, the songs being chanted of his grandfather, King David, they started to turn on themselves. So when there's 5 people in any given city that are praying as, you know, contemplatives and being very sincere and very charitable, they're going to have more power than 100 city officials that are evil. And that's just how God has set it up. And that's why in the book I mentioned at the beginning, we need to get a million people to enroll in the Archconfraternity of the Holy Face and the Confraternities of the Holy Rosary so that we have a Gideon, you know, we have an army. It's a small army, so we can actually offer a counterattack and we don't just get into world slavery.
I want to stop there. We have to take a break. So much to get to. So let's pick it up there when we come back. Also taking your calls, do you have a devotion to the Holy Face? Does the message of reparation resonate with you? Have you prayed the golden arrow prayer? We'll get to that as well. 1-888-914-9149 is the number to call. Producer Jim, standing by to take your calls. My name is Brooke Taylor in for Cale Clark, and joined by Father Lawrence Daniel Carney III as we explore the message of his brand new book. It is called The Secret of the Holy Face, The Devotion Destined to Save Society. Back after the break. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Cale Clark. Thanks for listening to my podcast. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. They're a pro-life phone company, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to Relevant Radio or another pro-life charity of your choice. For a limited time, new customers who mention offer code Relevant Radio get a free phone with free activation and free shipping. Don't delay. CharityMobile.com. That's CharityMobile.com.
Helping you keep your mind off traffic and on the more important things in life. It's Cale Clark on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back. This is Brooke Taylor in for Cale today. And boy, the hour is going quickly because we're talking about the brand new book from Father Lawrence Carney. It's called The Secret of the Holy Face, The Devotion Destined to Save Society, and learning about the treasury of graces in this devotion. And I feel like we're in the classroom of the saints, as Father Carney has walked us through a little bit, instructing us in the way of reparation, the pattern of devotion deployed by saints like St. Therese of Lisieux and St. Louis and the entire Martin family, the Venerable Leo DuPont, so many others. If you missed the first part of the show, be sure you can go to relevantradio.com and get the full episode. I'm hoping this one will really be shared. As Father Carney mentioned, the hope, the prayer is 1 million souls enrolled into the Archconfraternity of the Holy Face. And we know that with our Lord and with the need, there's such a pressing need for this, that we can mobilize. And so we'll get to more of what that means, what that looks like when we talk about the action steps. The number is 1-888-914-9149. I apologize. I said Jim was manning the phones. It's actually Patrick Alar. So sorry, Patrick. Good thing he has a very humble heart. And he has a couple calls it looks like we have on the line right now. We can take Rose. Rose is with us and also with Father Carney. Hello, Rose.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. Hi, Father. Yesterday I had this sense in my heart that the Lord was wanting me to take up the devotion to the Holy Face of Jesus. But then I told myself, oh, I already have these amazing devotions. I can't take up another one. And one of them is adoration. And the Lord just arranged it that I would be listening to this segment. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. And what I'm hearing, and it's like the Lord is inviting me to take on the devotion to his holy faith. And now I understand why. And it's so humbling and so powerful. And I want to be enrolled. What do I do?
Great question. And I love your name, by the way, Rose, as we talk about St. Therese and how it all ties together. Does that make you smile, Father, based on what you kind of talk about connection points like that in your book?
Oh, this happens all the time, Rose. This is because God is behind this devotion like none other. And the really neat thing is, I tell priests and spiritual directors, is this devotion doesn't really add a whole lot more time to your devotions in the day. At minimum, maybe 1 minute a day, but if you really want to get more involved, I would suggest 5 to 10 more minutes a day. But what it does is it enhances your devotion to the sacraments, and like the Mass and confession, but it also enhances the rosary. Devotion makes us tender towards the object of devotion. So this devotion makes us tender towards the holy face of Jesus. But it's not just, you know, being tender to his face. There's so many bullet points of actions that God gives us a blueprint of how we can get out of this mess. Basically, he's the one that's punishing us by sending, he told Sister Mary St. Peter, I will send revolutionary men, not like I've sent earthquakes or tornadoes in the past, that I will continue to send, but he's sending revolutionary men. And guess what? Their revolutionary men are inside the church. They're outside. They're everywhere. They want revolution. And he also called out, Jesus called them out as communists. So how do we fight them? Well, the Catholics, the best way to do that is to do what God said. And he gives us a blueprint of how to get out of this mess that we're in. Because God wants to fight this war for us. And also, God wants us to put up a good fight before we earn, you know, heaven. Heaven is such a huge prize. There's no way that we could ever do anything to earn it. He gives it to us, but he wants us to put up a battle. And defending his rights, the rights of God, that's something I think we've lost in the last few decades, is standing up for the rights of God, because he is God. So, Rose, to enroll in the Archconfraternity, we have a website. It's www.martinians.org. So it's martinians.org. And we have a button, if you go there, where you can get an enrollment form, and you can either mail it in or email it to the Archconfraternity in Tours, France, and you will be enrolled. And one of the main requirements is that you have to say, O Lord, show us thy face, and we shall be healed, or we shall be saved, and our Father, Hail Mary, and glory be, every day. That's the number one thing you have to do. And you'll join the ranks of
St. Therese of Lisieux, who enrolled in 1885. And this is something I was just thinking. She went to heaven to convert many souls. And I think it's through this devotion that we're really going to realize that. If we get 1 million people involved in this devotion since this book's come out, I think there's going to be so many reversions, because that's one of the points in our little prayer cells that we have called the League of St. Martin, is we have the three R's: reparation, reverence, and reversion. Well, reversion is praying for souls to come back to the church. So she's part of this arch confraternity, and if you roll in that, you receive the graces of being on the same team with her, which is amazing. I'll stop there.
Well, Father, it's just so edifying, because my heart is burning, as I am a member also recently of the Archconfraternity, wearing my scapular, receiving the beautiful package from France that includes the enrollment and the scapular, and as well as a cross with the Holy Face. And I also ordered a prayer book that I just want to give an example of the prayers. This is the manual of the Archconfraternity of the Holy Face. And so the picture that is adopted by the Archconfraternity has a meditation that goes with it. And it's quite lengthy. I'm just going to read a few sentences and you will see the beauty of this prayer. The nose is wounded and bleeding, the mouth open and filled with blood. The teeth are broken, the head and the hair torn out in different places. Thus changed and disfigured, the most holy face of Jesus does not the less present to us in the whole aspect, an ineffable mixture of greatness, of compassion, of love and sorrow, which touches the hearts of all who look upon it. Beneath those bleeding wounds and that ignoble spittle, the Christian soul recognizes the majesty of its God, and touched with repentance at the sight of so striking an expiation of its ingratitude, it abandons itself without reserve to a sweet confidence and an ardent love for its Redeemer. I'm telling you, that's just one little snippet of an entire book full of these just spectacular, splendid prayers. I know Denver is also enrolled in the Archconfraternity, on the line now with us from New Mexico. Are you there, Denver?
Yes, I am.
Could you share a little bit of your experience and your prayers with the devotion to the Holy Face?
Yeah, well, I guess I could say I fell upon it by accident, but let's just say divine providence last November, and I enrolled. And currently I'm reading the two books, The Golden Arrow and The Holy Man of Tours. And I was actually very delighted to hear that Father has come out with a new book. But from my personal experience, I can say I do pray the Golden Arrow prayer every morning before work. And I try to, especially like on Tuesdays and Fridays, I pray it three times in honor of the Trinity. But from my personal experience, it's given me a deeper appreciation for the Passion, to meditate more often on the Passion of the Christ, and just really think about, especially with the Shroud of Turin and all that, like really what he went through, that it's become more of a reality for me of the Passion, from like what we hear in catechism.
That is just a natural byproduct, because even again, reading that meditation, it just brings us to that and our love and want, I think, to protect him and make reparation. Father, can you share a little bit about Sister Mary of St. Peter and particularly the Golden Arrow prayer?
Absolutely. So Sister Mary of St. Peter was in Rennes, France. She wanted to be a Carmelite. And her spiritual director was really tough on her. And he was known for placing women in convents, and they would stay there till their last days. So she wanted to join near home, but there was no place for her. So she went to a chapel nearby where they were having the exposition of the relics of St. Martin. And she entrusted her calling to him and profusely kissed his relics and just begged him to take care of her Carmelite heart so she could find a home. So going real quickly, on November 11th, she left the world, and she entered on November the 13th in the Carmel of Tours. They had room for her. And incidentally, November 11th is the Feast of St. Martin of Tours, and that's my birthday too. And November the 13th is a very holy bishop. I forget his name, but was one or two bishops after St. Martin. So she joined there. And then after a few months, maybe a year or so, Jesus started talking to her and said, I want to talk to you about reparation. So she began to receive these revelations about reparation. And the golden arrow, like you're reading, Denver, there's so much in there. I have to read it over and over again because there's so much that comes out of it. Our Lord tells her that you cannot separate the Immaculate Heart from the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And that's because both of them are blasphemed. You know, Our Lady, she has the five reparations of blasphemy because people blaspheme her Immaculate Heart and her other five. And same with our Lord, people are blaspheming him. So they always have to be connected, the Sacred Heart and the Immaculate Heart. So I hope that helps.
And even through what Denver shared and what Rose said, the simple prayer, Sit Nomen Domini Benedictum, whenever we hear blasphemy, can you share a little bit about the power of reparation when we hear blasphemies against our Lord?
Yes, when people blaspheme, our Lord was telling Sister Mary St. Peter, even children are blaspheming. And this sin is so horrible that we've grown up in a civilization where we just get the sleight of hand to people that blaspheme. Oh, they're not doing it on purpose. They're not cursing somebody. But this devotion has helped me to see how bad it really is. For example, Venerable Leo de Pont grew up in Martinique, which is in the Caribbean islands, which was a French colony. And he moved to Tours. And when he would hear blasphemy, he would pop people in the head with his fist because he never heard it growing up. And the reason is because the French Revolution happened, and that's where blasphemy became common sense. But the French Revolution never reached Martinique. His island was isolated from that. So that's the old world way of reacting to blasphemy. King Louis IX, who is one of the three patrons of the Archconfessional of Holy Faith, he had laws in his kingdom that if anyone committed capital blasphemy, then they were punishable either by mutilation of the tongue or the lips. And that tells us that there was a time in Christendom when people knew better than to call names to our Lord and God. And because our whole human society is doing that, God is giving us one of the greatest punishments we've ever seen. You know, a world war seems to be coming, and so on and so forth. So
and
that's
also
why this devotion is for our times.
Yes, and the disintegration of all of the structures, you know, family, and sometimes it feels like church and so much. I'm smiling because I actually took a screenshot in the book of that exact excerpt you talked about in the life of Venerable Leo de Pont, and I texted it to my sons and my husband and my Bible study group and my prayer group. And so I want to share it here because it really does stick out. It says this: in his earlier days, Leo was known for boxing people on the ear who blasphemed or those who wore provocative clothing at Mass. Realizing that gentleness is a grace from God, he asked a blasphemer, "My dear man, I will ask you to do me a favor. Either keep silent or else strike me a blow on the face." I don't mean to laugh, but it just seems so foreign to our day and age, and certainly so gentlemanly. It was less painful to him to be smacked on the face than to hear God's name spoken in vain. His great biographer, Father Janvier, noted the heroic modesty, piety, and angelic fervor of such a simple layman. Father was reminded by DuPont what piety the faithful of the church holds in the head in the time of the apostles. So And to think of where we are now, as you mentioned, even children that blaspheme, and that we can, through these beautiful prayers and the devotion, make reparation. I know we have to take a break. I want to quickly hear from Bella, taking your calls, 1-888-914-9149, speaking with Father Lawrence Daniel Carney III about his new book, The Secret of the Holy Face, The Devotion Destined to Save Society. Bella, you said that this is something that your parish is involved in.
Well, I am in awe because I actually received an inspiration in 2019, and I love St. Therese, but I didn't know her whole name involves the Holy Face of Jesus. And that through her that I was able to, you know, research and finally bring to the pastor of my church, and he approved. And since then, the Tuesday before the Feast of the Holy Face of Jesus, we've been getting in the chapel and, you know, doing the golden hour prayer and praise of reparation and have a quiet time with Jesus, the Blessed Sacrament. It's so beautiful, and it's been growing even more. So to hear, you know, I was not by accident that Father was talking about that. I was in awe, and just, you know, more and more people, I pray that will be in touch with this devotion that is absolutely beautiful.
Well, it's encouraging to hear. It must be edifying to you, Father, because I know you've dedicated so much of your heart to the faithfulness of this call, this mission. Could you mention again the website for those to join the Archconfraternity?
Yes, it's www.martinians.org, martinians.org.
Okay, and that is easy to navigate as well. So, and I know we have to take a break, but when we come back, I want to talk about the connection, and you touched on it, between the Holy Face and the Sacred Heart, the Immaculate Heart, as we prepare to celebrate the solemnity coming up. The book, again, is The Secret of the Holy Face, The Devotion Destined to Save Society. Abbot Philip Anderson from Our Lady of Clear Creek Abbey says it is the journey into the secret of this face that has enthralled and transformed the church for some 2 millennia and continues to do so up to our day. And we are trying, Father is mightily trying to, with the help of the Holy Spirit, have 1 million enrollees into this Archconfraternity. More on that and how the faithful are being called to form these small battalions engaging in the work of reparation, to bring restoration. Again, we can take your calls, 1-888-914-9149. My name is Brooke Taylor, in for Cale Clark. You're listening to Relevant Radio. We'll be right back.
Explaining the faith so you can explain it to others. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Leviticus 25:8. In case you don't have it memorized, I will read what it says. It's right in the beginning of the brand new book by Father Lawrence Daniel Carney III, The Secret of the Holy Face, The Devotion Destined to Save Society. Leviticus 25:8 says, 5 of yours shall pursue 100 others, and 100 of you, 10,000, your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. And so that is right before the table of contents on a new book by Father Carney. And we're talking about it now and how this is a devotion for our time. It has been for centuries now, but somehow fallen into obscurity, which Father Carney in the top of the show explained a little bit of why that was and by design. And in the section about communism, Father says, we are at war and need to engage in mystical combat. Communists are the quintessential traitors of the Catholic Church as they grew up in the shadow of her great European cathedrals and mocked the life-saving faith she taught to her subjects. We know that God is using revolutionary men rather than the elements to punish the human race in this age. That's interesting, Father. So just to repeat that, God is using revolutionary men rather than the elements to punish the human race in this age. So in this really, is this largely from some of the revelations of Sister Mary, St. Peter?
Yes. So she was told by our Lord that the demon would do everything in his power to crush this work which springs from the Sacred Heart. So now that's a lesson worth going back to. In the Sacred Heart, Jesus told the saint, Sister Margaret Mary Vallet Koch, that Jesus wanted to have his Sacred Heart placed in all the standards of France and to be engraved in all the weapons of France so that they would be victorious. But the kings of France never listened to the message of the Sacred Heart, and 100 years after the message was given, the king was beheaded. So what happened to France is going to happen to the world. And that's why we have this devotion to the Holy Face, is we can change this around. Now, in my background, I was in investments before I became a seminarian and then a priest. And my job was to look at businesses that were going to be stars in the future. So you invest with them and then you make a lot of money. Well, God chose me to be a priest. And then I read where Blessed Alan de la Roche, who died in 1475 in the Order of Sanctity, he was promoting devotion to the rosary. And he got 100,000 people to enroll in the confraternity of the Holy Rosary. So I thought, wow, I want to be like him. I want to have something in front of my name when I go on. So I thought, wouldn't it be neat if we can get 1 million people to enroll in the Archconfraternity of the Holy Faith? And as more people enroll in this, they will be able to have the fire that comes from it that I get from God and from the saints as intercessors to spread devotion of how we can actually make this world a better place and where we can be part of the triumph of the Immaculate Heart, and especially the triumph of the Catholic Church, which the Chaplet to the Holy Face is dedicated to. And I want to touch on something that's so important, how St. Thérèse of Lisieux, she received a biography of this very obscure nun, Sister Mary of St. Peter, from her blood sister. And when she read that biography, she decided she wanted to dedicate a lion's share of her devotions to the Holy Face. And the way Sister Mary St. Peter lived, St. Thérèse wanted to copy that. Now, Sister Mary St. Peter has never been canonized. And her cause for canonization was abruptly stopped. And I think it's because the communist infiltrators were already seeing things that they needed to stomp out. And that was one of them. So we have a treasure here because so few people know that St. Thérèse of Lisieux's holiness was derived from a biography of Sister Mary St. Peter, who's the one who received these revelations. And to top it all off, Venerable Leo de Pont received a copy of the Veil of Veronica that was touched to the Veil of Veronica, and he put it in his drawing room. And at one point, people come to get healed by the oil that was burning there. And so many people got healed. There were 6,000 certified miracles, meaning doctors signed under oath that this was a miracle beyond physical explanation. So in investments, when you see something like that in a company, when you see something like that in devotion and it's not being lived out, this is a gold mine in the future. We just need some people to sell it. And that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm in sales. That's why I'm a priest. That's why I'm
And God bless you because you've been equipped, and especially I can't truly promote the book enough because it is so masterfully written, because there's a lot to it. There is a novena. Of course, there's the golden arrow prayer. You have the apostles, so to speak, of the Holy Face, and you talk about the chaplet, all of the history, the Veil of Veronica, and then you also lay out the concise terms of the operation of this battalion of the faithful to make reparation. And the book really is the best way to get the full battle plan. Can you just elucidate, though, on a few of those action steps?
Yes, the key is that this is a mythical combat. A lot of guys, some women too, they want to fight and do something right now, physically, against the world tyranny that's coming down the pike. But I tell them, no. The best thing to do is to become contemplatives. The best thing to do is to have charity filled in our hearts and to begin living in heaven now inside of our souls. And this devotion equips us with a game plan of how to be the best contemplatives. Because when the Levite that was helping King Josaphat to fight against greatly outnumbered He said, this will be God's war, but we have to pray. We have to have confidence in God. We have to make reparation. So King Jehoshaphat, when the war began, the battle began, he put the seamen in the vanguard. That means the men who chanted King David's Psalms began to sing as they went forward in battle. And because of that chant, the enemy started to turn on itself. So this war is easy if we get, I just put a number out, 1 million people to get on their knees and to pray these prayers alongside with their masses, the Divine Office for Religious, and the rosaries and other little devotions. But this devotion seems to hone in and to aim at the enemy because it's God. And our Lord told Sister Mary St. Peter, hurl the instruments of my passion towards the enemy. So think of that, the spear, the crown of thorns, the nails, the cross, the scourges, the pillar, and all those things. Mystically think of hurling those at the devils and their agents. And then this becomes God's war. And that's how he wants it to be. He wants to show his power. But he wants us little ones to be on our knees and to be little contemplatives, like the little trees of Lisieux and like Sister Mary St. Peter and Venerable Little Pond, the apostles of the Holy Faith. So if you read the book, I think you'll get a comprehensive understanding of how to get involved in this battle. And you know what? People suffer in devotion to the Holy Faith, but they have a joy inside that the world can't take because they know they're doing reparation to our good God. And that fills souls with joy.
Well, Father, I think you have sold Rick. We have Rick on the line. Rick on the line from Florida. Did you have a question for Father Rick?
Yes, actually, we do. I think my wife spoke to you a few minutes ago, Father. I was actually in the shower, just got home from work. But she forgot to ask, when we do the celebration at our church here, Nativity in Hollywood, right now we just have a very small picture of the image. And we were wondering mm-hmm. if you had any place that you know of that we could get something a bit larger, you know, more closer to poster size. It doesn't have to be quite that big, but, you know, maybe like a good 12 by 17 type of, you know, picture that we could display. If you're aware of anybody that would have that.
Well, we need to start probably making some of those. We do have images, copies that are placed on linen, and I touched them to the veil of Veronica that was touched, copy that was touched to the true veil of Veronica, and I give those to people that start little prayer groups called the League of St. Martin, and after they've discerned for a year and they want to keep going, I send three to the captain, and then they just keep doing the prayers, and then that's how they get them. And so we have that on our website on martinians.org if you're interested in that. But otherwise, people always give me these pictures, like you said, like, you know, 11 by 17, and I just give them away, but I'm out right now. So I don't know where they come from. People just give them to me. So I'm sorry I don't have an easy answer. My answer makes you have to spend a whole year to get them. So sorry about that.
Well, it is interesting in a time where a lot of different flags are being created and hung. You know, we're called to raise the cross. And you see that when you travel on pilgrimage, the highest mountains in Italy or the Holy Land, there where you see the cross, evangelization has begun, as Pope John Paul II had once said. And so thinking about that, I know part of the Archconfraternity is to wear the Holy Face. In the manual, the prayer book, it says the associates are advised habitually to wear this cross as a safeguard during pilgrimages and at public ceremonies. The cross has the Holy Face. During pilgrimages, it is well to have it placed where it can be seen on the breast. The Archconfraternity is an army. The cross, such as it has been described, is its standard. Let us wear it with confidence. It will help to conquer our enemies and to repair our losses, but it is not absolutely necessary. I like that that's put in there in case you don't have it, mm-hmm. but that is the standard. You think about, you have a beautiful image in the book about Joan of Arc and the standard that she would wave into battle. And this is our standard, and it is the face of Christ. And it's hard to believe that we're almost out of time, but I just want to thank you for Father Carney bringing the devotion of the Holy Face to us in your new book, in your ministry, in your work. And again, it's called The Secret of the Holy Face, The Devotion Destined to Save Society. It's available. It is out. I know it's through TAN. It is available, right, Father?
Yes. Yesterday was the release date, so it's out. It's through
TAN.
Okay.
Well, the funny thing is, I wondered if I could order it in bulk because I know a half a dozen priests that I want to get this book for. And like you said, because, you know, this is an effort to kind of raise battalions. So I don't know if you have bulk pricing, but it is at least a new release.
Yeah, I think so. We would have to talk to the people at TAN, and that could be managed, I'm sure.
And as far as enrolling in the Arch Confraternity, that is just a matter of going to the website, right, and submitting, because you do have different levels, as you mentioned.
Yes, the Arch Confraternity, once you enroll in that, you're in an official ecclesiastical pious association. And so I tell people if they mail it, it costs about $1.20 for the international stamp. And that's it. It's free. So, yeah, you can go online, I think. It's in France. And we've got that information on our website, too. But you can go around us, too, because it's for the whole church.
Okay, we will. And also the information, again, will be posted. If you go to relevantradio.com, you can hear this show in its entirety in podcast form. Please share it. And also you can link up there to the website to join. We have about 30 seconds before you go, Father. Will you cover us with a final blessing?
Absolutely. Dominus obiscum, ecum spiritu tuo benedicat vos benedictus Deus, pater et filii spiritus sanctus super vos et maniat semper.
In nomine Patris, Filii, Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Thank you, Father. God bless you. Trending with Timory is up next. My name is Brooke Taylor, filling in for Cale Clark. You can connect with me on Twitter, also Instagram on One Brooke Taylor. God bless you.